It's your girl, Billion Dollar Baby.
And it's your girl, Mila the Brave, on Let's Get Into It. Yes, yes, y'all. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah. I feel like we have a lot to unpack. Excuse me. A lot to unpack. It's been a crazy few weeks. I'm not really excited to share so much loss. Mm-hmm. I'm not excited at all, but you know, we do have to make awareness for these things that is happening. We recently just, you know, got hit with some news, very devastating. A young lady by the name of Shanquilla Robinson, she pretty much was found dead in her Airbnb as she was visiting Mexico on a trip with her quote unquote friends.
Heavy on the quotes.
Yeah. Now, it's such a tragedy because it was like she was supposedly drinking and then had died from alcohol poisoning. Well, the autopsy came out and later on they did see that she actually was beaten and had a broken neck.
She had injuries to her spine and her neck. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, what really happened, you know? Right. Honestly, I don't believe that this is just some accidental, like, oh no. This was very deliberate. And maybe, you know, the people that she was with didn't just intend, okay, we're gonna go on a trip and kill somebody. But the actions, come on. For you to beat somebody so bad that you break their neck, you've got to be really going full force. And at that point, I really believe that there's some heavy investigation. And I believe there has been a statement put out that the FBI has taken on this case to thoroughly investigate. Because honestly, I mean, come on. Mexican authorities are not, they're not going to do what they need to do. This is not their, somebody that is a citizen of their country. So, right. You know, that's up to us. And I'm so happy that there's so much that has been happening to try to get down to the bottom of it. She has a GoFundMe, which has been getting a lot of, recognition as well. People have been helping. Kyrie Irving, he actually donated twice, one for $15,000. I believe the other for $30,000. So, oh, wow. Yeah. So he's really contributed, and which is not surprising, being, you know, we're seeing his path and journey through his enlightenment with a lot of things too. So he's trying to make sure that he supports, you know, the fellow Black people that may be suffering or going through things that may need support. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but such a tragic situation. And, you know, the topic, you know, that comes after this is like, who do you consider your friends? Mm-hmm. And what type of access are you going to give these said friends into your life? Honestly, these people that were with her, they weren't true friends. They just weren't, you know, I feel like these were more people that you could just, you know, go on a trip and turn up with. You know, get wild with. Those are not real friends that really have your best interests at heart. You know, what's crazy too, one of the guys that was on the trip with them that supposedly was really close to her, he went and visited. Years. Yeah. And he visited the mom a few, like, what was it? 3 days in a row after they returned from the trip.
Yeah, exactly. And brought the luggage. Well, brought her luggage home. Yet I'm baffled because they say that they didn't even come back with her body. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But it's to my understanding that all of the individuals that accompanied her on this trip actually went and broke bread with her family. So they're sitting there stuffing their faces with the meal that her mother cooked, knowing exactly what transpired at that villa.
Wow.
So that was the kind of information that absolutely perturbed me to no end. Because that shows how sociopathic those individuals were to sit there while the parents are inquiring about what happened to their daughter. You know?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there acting like they give a damn. And apparently her friend Khalil, that she's known for like 5+ years, he was acting a bit odd. So apparently he was sweating profusely, he was pacing, and he was stroking his beard. And it was obvious that something was eating him alive. And also, I was looking at a tweet online that Shanquella's boyfriend actually tweeted. And he said he couldn't believe that Khalil had the chance to lie to his face and actually get a chance to walk away. So it's like you can only imagine the deceit, you know. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but it's just like this case has just got me so amped up. It's just like
the boyfriend didn't go on the trip with them.
He did not go on the trip. No, ma'am. It was her, some girl named Dejanay, and then a girl named Winter, which oddly enough, we all saw the viral video. Unfortunately, that was circulating on Twitter or everywhere on social media. But anyway, we all saw the viral video where Dejanay was tossing her around the room. And again, those are marble floors. So the impact when you're getting thrown around like that is extremely detrimental. Than just, you know, hitting and being thrown on a carpeted space. So being thrown down like that is absolutely not safe. And then apparently Winter is the one who gave the most fatal blow. I don't know how true this is. But apparently Shanquella was bending over vomiting, just at a very vulnerable position. And it's not due to alcohol. According to the autopsy, she had no substances in her system. So that rules that out. But anyway, so it must have been from how badly beaten she was. But apparently Winter caught her off guard, came behind her, had her in a chokehold, and then by the neck, slammed that poor girl down onto the ground. And that was then when she stopped moving. That was when she stopped moving. Now, they all contributed, as far as I'm concerned. But they're just saying that was the fatal blow.
Wow. And see, you know, I didn't actually see the footage of her getting beaten, because and for some reason I never really see these things that as they come out. Mm-hmm. When they're always like, you know, check this link out or check the, you know, the video, whatever, I never see it, but I'm happy that I didn't.
Right, it's unsettling.
Yeah. And it's like the fact that they even sat there and recorded it, it's like, okay.
And it was Khalil, her good friend, who recorded it.
It just doesn't make any sense.
And you can tell on the footage that she wasn't even trying to fight back. You can even hear the cameraman, her friend, who was like, damn, Quilla, you're not even going to fight back. So it's like the young lady wasn't even trying to fight back. Like, as a friend, you should have stepped in, seeing that your friend was defenseless. Because you could tell they caught her off guard. Because in the video, it appeared as if she was nude.
Yeah. Now, I did see the video of them getting naked leading up to that. I think it may have led up to that moment where they were pretty much having a challenge or something like that. They were like, you know, everybody, like, get naked, you know. And they were supposed to be walking around naked. I guess this was something that they just said that they were going to do while they were on the trip.
Right.
But, yeah. So it's like at that point, you have no clothes. You're completely exposed.
Just totally vulnerable.
Yeah. Getting beat. And so it just brings us to the point where, okay. So like, why are we considering, okay, where in here are we even giving them the right to be friends? I need to know, like, okay, Khalil was in her life for about 5 years. Okay. So these other people, like, were these just associates or just like mutual friends? Like, how did the passageway come about for you to know these people? Because here's the thing, we're being placed in situations where there is no trust behind another person to have your back. There's not enough there for you to feel secure with going somewhere, let alone another country. So where in this are we just titling, hey, this is my friend. Hey, this is my bestie.
That's fair. But I can kind of relate to her. I mean, I don't know her, you know. But just kind of going off of my personal experience, I have a friend that I've had for years. And I can relate to that level of comfort because I've known him for like 8+ years or so. So I would feel safe going anywhere with him, regardless of the other pairings of other friends that we went to. But to be quite frank, there have been situations that he has proven to be capable of having my back. So I can trust that he would, even if something were to go awry. And I think that's what you truly have to do with testing friendships is in relationships, but you need to see people in different circumstances, different scenarios in order to see if they have your back. I'm not going to sit here and say if anybody truly has me unless they've seen me, you know, angry, sad, happy, depressed, just those various emotions, mental states, all of that. And I think that's how you could truly get to that level of saying that's my bestie, that's my sister, that's my brother. They have to prove themselves, you know. And some people might be like, well, who are you that I have to prove things to you? Well, that's the thing, you know, everything we do in life, we do have to prove. Like with a job, you have to show you're capable of the job. So it's just any role that you're playing in life, you do have to prove. Are you up for it? Can you handle it? When things get hot, can you take the heat or are you going to jump out? You know? So it's just crazy. And she probably felt that, you know, I'll be okay. You know, if something were to pop off, I'd be good. You know, he's accompanied her on family vacations and all sorts of things. So I could definitely see how she would have her guard down. And what I understand, she paid for the entire trip.
I don't know you if know? It was the full trip, but I do know she paid for the Airbnb. I stole.
Yes. And you want to know what they did with that? Some of that money, which is the most callous shit I've ever heard. So they took some of that money after knowing that woman was deceased. And I know they knew. Okay. Cause you know, so stop it. You knew, so stop that. I don't want to hear that you didn't know. None of y'all, not even the guy that came afterwards. I don't want to hear that you didn't know. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. But anyway, they took her money and they got, paid for with her money, an Airbnb near the airport so that they could plan their getaway.
Can you hear that?
I mean, how callous and calculated are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear some people online who are saying that she wasn't a nice person. Or, you know, apparently there's a rumor that she got someone set up. I don't know how true it is, but apparently she got some guy set up. And in the midst of all that, the guy got killed or something along that nature. But at the end of the day, here's what I think. I you know, apologies for that guy. If that is true, I'm so sorry. But at the end of the day, even if something like that transpires, but you know, it might be a little bit of my belief that believes in karma, but you do not play God. You know, who are you to go ahead and do that? You do not play God.
Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, how do you control what type of karma that person's going to get? You don't know. Cause now you done put the thing on you. Whatever it is that was chasing another person, now you have placed that on you because you don't know what type of karma that person was meant to have. That doesn't mean that they were meant to have death, but that was completely heinous. I just feel, like I said, for you to be able to beat somebody that bad, like, no, there, that was a deliberate, like, you have anger or some type of real grudgeful feeling to someone to do that. Like, and I understand some people fight and they black out, but realistically,
but that's where people should be responsible, you know, and be like, whoa, like, as a friend, I'm sorry, I don't care, I'm not gonna, if that's my friend, I don't give a damn if you deserve it or whatever. You are not gonna beat on my friend like that. I don't care. Because there'll be a point where I'm like, all right, chill. You're doing too much. We're deading this now. There should just be a point where you're just like, enough is enough. Because it should hurt you. It would hurt me if anybody hurts my friend. So that tells me you're not even a real friend. You're not even a real friend. You're swinging my damn friend around like that? And I mean, like, what the hell? Now it's a personal problem. Now you got beef with me.
Because it's I understand, like, you know, a lot of people fight their fight and it's like, okay, let them hold their own. So I get that part where, you know, if it's just one-on-one person that's fighting, then yeah, you let them do what they're doing. But when it gets to be an out of control.
Exactly.
You know, like you know what is a decent enough fight when you just make sure that those hits connect and then that's that.
Right. Like call it a day.
Yeah. But like for it to go on and y'all just continue. Always. And then the person's not fighting back. That's another thing. In that case, she wasn't fighting back. So at that point, it's like you stepping in the boxing ring. Yeah, like you're boxing with somebody that isn't even fighting with you. Of course they're going to get beat up.
And that tells me that you're a bully. Because even the one who gave the fatal blow, you're a bully. Because you saw that the other one got away with it. So now you're like, ooh, let me go ahead and get my licks in. Let me get my clout. Because I'm a punk and a coward and everything else that I do. So let me go ahead and get my clout right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I do not have respect for cowards. I do not have respect for that kind of behavior. And that's just, it's just wrong to me. It's just the way that trip went down entirely. Her parents, especially Khalil, shame on you. You know those people. You know what I mean? Like, they're expecting and hoping that at least, hey, as a parent, you're already are uncomfortable with your kid leaving, you know, out the house with everything that happens on a day-to-day basis. So it's just to think of leaving the country, you're thinking at least, hey, Khalil, you know, he's like her brother. He's going to make sure nothing happens to her. You know, they feel comforted, but he even defied their trust. And I hope that eats him alive. But they all going to jail. Even the one recording, yes, you two should. Or yes, you should too, sir.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, anybody that was involved that sat there watching without, you know, at least protecting or even having the conscience to say, okay, that's enough. Yeah, you should have to deal with some kind of consequence in that situation.
Right, because nothing goes without repercussion. Even the guy that came a day later, the dad was saying, I was watching an interview, and he was saying, you knew very well that, you know, when they were telling you, hey, she, you know, was going through alcohol poisoning, he should have known something was up. The dad even mentioned there was a mismatch in time that was quoted, but whatever. But anyway, he said, at the end of the day, you saw that she had a busted lip, she had a swollen eye, and you even saw that she had a lump on her head. You saw that she wasn't in the best state. She wasn't in the usual state that you see her in. So you should have saw that something was wrong. Something was amiss. You know, if I would have seen somebody like that, I would have been like, look, I don't know about y'all. And I don't know what the heck just happened here. But what I'm going to do is call the authorities. Because I don't know what this is. And I'm not trying to get wrapped up in all of this. But to me, it's just odd as an individual. You said you had no part of it, but now it just seems like you're obstructing evidence. Because it might sound dramatic, but that's how I feel. Because at the end of the day, you said you didn't know anything. You got on live, you wanted to explain your case and said you had no part, but it's just like, at the end of the day, you should have done the right thing. You know, you should have known something was. So, and I mean, even with the friends, like, you know, he should have been like, we're not leaving her. So, like, even if there is a moment where you are scared to stand up against people, I always believe that even if you have 100 on that side and it's just you, you still need to stand your ground. You need to stand for what's right at the end of the day. So he should have just been like, look, guys, you guys can be upset with me. You guys can beat me down. But what I'm going to do is the right thing. And that's going to be, you know, calling the authorities, you know. So I just wouldn't be okay with that. Like, I don't understand what people are made of these days. And I'm baffled, but I'm upset and just wasn't cool. It's just every week there's something going on and it's sad. It's just so much loss. It's unnecessary. And it just seems like there's just so much dark energy. And I definitely do think that this was heavily evolved around envy, because you know how women get. If they see a woman that's more charming, more confident, more magnetic, and this girl was beautiful. You know, she was successful. She had nothing going for her. So, I mean, that's the perfect storm for envy.
Yeah. I do feel like it was a level of envy or some type of jealousy with that, because it's like, she had a lot going on for herself. She had businesses.
That young girl
she had, she had, you know, obviously the financial capability to be able to go ahead and pay for the entire Airbnb in a whole nother country. You know, she,
okay, because that was $10,000 of cash. Okay. Because let me tell you something. I don't have that.
You know, and that's hard to come by. So it's like, yeah, y'all looked at her, then you know she's pretty, she has the body, she has pretty much everything, she's kind of right. A it girl, so right. It's like now these women may feel, you know, less than or even a little
inferior,
intimidated compared to her.
Yep.
But that's honestly to me, and I look at women like that especially, I just think that they're so weird, because it's like you could actually be on that type of level. All you got to do is ask her what is she doing?
Right. Instead of being hateful, like, what did you do to accomplish this? And then let's just say she's someone that has a bad attitude. Girl, you ain't got to stay around.
Exactly. Like, so y'all chose to go on a trip with somebody that you feel like you didn't like, or that you... No. It would never be an excuse in my book to just... No. To justify that type of behavior and then to go about it the way that they went about it. It's just no, nothing there to be able to say it's okay. Nothing at all. So, you know, and I feel like they're very scared, shaking in their boots, you know, but it is what it is. Now you got to suffer those consequences, and it's not going to be pretty.
At all.
You know, what they probably thought was, oh, nobody's going to really care. Nobody's going to really, no, ma'am. No, ma'am, no, sir. Y'all probably thought that y'all was going to be able to get away with that and nobody, and then not hit a major headline and then not be all in the news and, you know, people talking about it, people raising awareness and then wanting to get y'all, you know, to have to face and deal with that. Y'all probably didn't think nothing of it, but guess what? It is. And now you're going to have to face, and that's horrible. I feel sad and you know, pity for them, because they're going to have to suffer really badly behind something unnecessary.
A damn shame.
Yeah. So also just want to touch base really quick. There was a sad a death that just recently came out for R&B singer that he was on his way up, and he definitely had some hits and, you know, created a little tone for our TikTokers and our Reels content creators. B. Smith, he passed away a few days ago.
R.I.P.
His brother actually posted on his page for him, and just, you know, let all the fans know, which I was actually surprised. I had no idea that he was fighting this battle that he had been going through.
Did it have something to do with, like, heart or respiratory?
Yeah, it was a respiratory.
Like some kind of respiratory illness is from what I...
I was looking up the information to try to find the exact name. But, yeah, it was something along the lines of, you know, his respiratory system. So he had been in the hospital for a little while and, you know, ended up losing that fight to that. And so his brother took to his Instagram page and, you know, share the information with everybody. And it's so sad because it's like, you never really know.
Yeah, they said it was like a respiratory failure, like a rare lung disease or something. Like,
right. Damn. I just seen him. I just seen him on Instagram not long ago, like doing a video. He had released a little, I think he had released a new song or maybe even like an EP or something like that. So it's just, it was like, wow, like, I didn't even expect that.
And you wouldn't think that, like, you know, with a singer, you know, and especially his age, it's like,
yeah, oh,
like, only 28 years old. Pretty young.
Yeah. So that's, you know, definitely RIP to him, and condolences to the family. You know, that was hard to deal with. You know, they had to, you know, pretty much watch him in that hospital. He was growing more and more ill. So. Aww. Yeah, but one thing for sure, he had a hit called Twerkaholic, which was something that a lot of people made TikTok videos to. And that was, you know, something that brought him joy, you know, towards his last days. So I feel, you know, in a lot of ways, people abuse social media. People use it to, you know, not be so so good as a person, but that was something good for him. And that was something, you know, that people could look back at, like, oh, remember that challenge, that Twerkaholic challenge, you know, by, you know, the singer B. Smith. Like, that's something that people could actually, you know, take. And so it doesn't have to always be negative. You know, it could be something that is actually fun and, you know, can keep the positivity going and keep a memory of somebody. So, but yeah. That's enough of the sad.
I know.
So I know we wanted to go into a topic which it's a little debatable. Now here is a clip, was a little voice clip of the interview that this person was having. So the sis had a lot to get off her chest. The main caption of this, of what she's talking about, is, I don't care about a man's potential. I care about his productivity. So this was one of the big things. And I feel like I do believe in this. So it stuck out to me, but I'm going to go ahead and play the clip so you guys can hear.
I don't care about a man's potential. At all, I don't. Baby, I care about his productivity, because now you wake up with the man and his boxers on your couch in your refrigerator, scratching his balls, talking about when his dinner ready, and he don't even know how much your rent is.
Right.
There's no way. I don't play sleepovers. I don't play house. I don't do none of that. That's not my shit. I don't play those type of games. There's no way a man is sleeping up comfortably or even coming over talking about something. I want to chill. My house is not an entertainment system, baby. System, baby. That's not what we're doing. You want to take me out, court me properly, date me properly, and I'm not a virgin. Let me tell you, it's harder to get my pussy now than it was then. You should have hit it then when I was open and I was naive and I was ready for everything. And I didn't know my worth, but now here I am, and I'm a girl with depth, with substance, with cool. There's no way I'm even allowing a man to even know where I live at until he done proved himself. You don't even get the address. You don't even get the address. And this is what I be talking about. Women take things so lightly, and men don't. So let's just go back to the narrative saying, like, a man wants you all in, and he wants you all in, and he's not all in because he's waiting for you to prove yourself.
Because women
give it up too easy. I don't care about a man's potential.
It's giving very much broke niggas don't get no pussy. I know that's right. Or something like that.
Yes. It's giving a lot in this segment that she's talking about. Like, tongue tied like shit right now. I agree 100% with what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Reason being is because she is pretty much saying, as she's grown from a young adult to a full adult, she has noticed what she has to bring to the table. And it's not just, oh, I could bring good pussy.
Okay.
She could bring productivity within what she does in her life.
She could bring motivation, tenacity. ambition, conversation about psychology, anthropology, anything, you know, just anything of depth.
Depth. Yeah. When in the beginning, as a young adult, as a teenager, you're figuring yourself out. It's a lot of stuff that you don't really know, you know, about the world, about yourself, about anything. Right. So you're going to be kind of like a flat surface. You know,
emotions, vulnerability, you know, grown woman shit.
Grow as you experience life and you step out there, you're going to start to encounter so many different things, life events, life moments that teach you stuff, valuable lessons you take with you. That's why people like to get advice from old people. Them years is enough for me to feel like, okay, you done went through some shit. I know that you know something. You might not know everything, but you know something.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that's wise of her to have that idea of what she expects from a man. And it's not to say, a lot of people get this misconstrued, and I'm going to clear it right now. When a woman wants some man that's doing something with themselves, they're not saying, mm-hmm. oh, you can't fall on hard times and need help from me as the woman. That's never the case. Now, there are some women that either way it go, they will just nag about you doing something. So yeah, that might be where they, you know, men feel like, okay, all women just have this thing where they can't even fall short and get some help. It's only a small percentage of women that's like that. You can't generalize women and put them in this whole category. Like, we just don't want, we can't help our man or can't take care of our man, or, you know what I'm saying? They can't lead on us. That's not true. Women just want to make sure that you're as a man, you have it in your head. All right, I done fell down, but this is how I'm going to get back up. You have to be productive with your shit. Yes, life has its twists and turns. Everybody knows that. So yes, it's a lot of stuff that you're going to face where it might not always just end well. It really might not. But at the end of the day, you got to be prepared for it. You can't just be like, oh, well, lost my job, lost my car, lost this, lost that. I'm about to sit down. No, the fuck, you cannot do that. Mm-hmm. That's what it is about. You know, potential is nothing without you putting the work in to get there. So that's right. The point. I don't care about a man's potential. Everybody right. has potential to do something.
For sure, for sure.
If you want to speak general, everybody has an option to be right. anything they want in the world. But you have to make that happen. You have to put in that work. And it's a post that I had listened to. It was actually a preacher. He was saying, actually, you know what? Let me see. I need to play this, because it was you know, because it ties into what I'm talking about. This man, I mean, he let me see if I can find it. Where is it at? Come on, please don't fail me.
Well, see, it's kind of like a car. You know that car that's parked out there sitting outside? It has the potential to move. But if you don't get your ass in that driver's seat and put your keys in the...
It ain't gonna drive nowhere. Point,
yeah, you gotta drive it.
More of it is that, you know, what he was saying was you have to be prepared while you're expecting your blessings or expecting what it is that you're looking for. You have to start stop being wasteful with your waiting. You're in the time, in a season where it's coming. So instead of knowing that it's coming and praying on it coming and then doing nothing, use that time while it's on its way to get prepared. Because a lot of us in life, we want and wish and hope for all this stuff. But then when it comes, we be looking like, oh my God, this is too much. Right. Oh, well, how do I do it? Oh, you know, have all these questions, but you should have found them answers to them questions while you was waiting for it.
Very true. You couldn't have said it better.
That's why a lot of people don't get what they deserve when they're supposed to get it. A lot of times people miss their blessings because they're so just distracted by everything else instead of tuning in. You pray for something, but then you don't even get prepared for it.
Right. You don't even know what to do when it comes to your doorstep.
Exactly. First off, where you messed up is, how do you pray for something that you don't even get prepared for? So right. You're sitting here getting on your knees every night. God, dear God, I just hope that you just bless me with this, such and such and such. Okay, so you're putting in that effort to pray for it, but you're not putting in that effort while you're waiting for it to be prepared. So then when you get it, you don't lose it.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay, so here, where it comes in the man's productivity, we know everybody got a potential. And the same goes for women. So we're not going to just jump on men's backs like, oh, y'all just don't be doing shit.
Yeah, because there be some ancient women too. This ain't that kind of podcast, y'all. We fair.
You know, it goes both ways. So it's to say this, like, listen, ain't nobody wants to be with somebody that's just, I'm just going to sit and wait for it to come. And then I hope I figure it out when it get here. That's no.
Cause that's wild.
Yeah. That's never a way to progress. And then that's a way that you're going to lose what you get. A lot of people get in this place and that happens a lot. You know, a lot of people make it. They carry around these ways of how they think and think, okay, well, this is all that matters. This is all that matters. So then once they get it, they're big now. Now they puffed up in the chest. And now they're like, oh, I got it. Ha. But then turn around and lose it right after that.
Yep.
Because you weren't even humble enough and you weren't even determined and you weren't even, you know, efficient with what you know, people got to sit and actually think about what it is that they want in life and then move. Just move on it every single day. And yeah, it's harder to say than it is to do it. But realistically, when you start playing in other people, you know that you want a family, you know that you want certain things as an outcome for your life. That is what you have to keep in mind while you're working towards these things. Because one thing, man, woman, husband, wife, it doesn't matter. You want to be in something where you feel fulfilled and not just sexually and not just like, oh, he makes me happy. He makes me laugh. Da, 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 da. No, you want to feel like in every aspect, emotionally, mentally, financially. A lot of people don't realize a lot of stress comes from financial stability.
Exactly. I mean, because that can make or break a relationship. I mean, and it's not about being a gold digger either. It's just, if you are spending most of your time stressing about finances, how do you have that time to focus on your marriage, building it up, and working on emotional intimacy? Like, how can you even have the time to focus on each other, engage each other, interact with each other, and build that emotional intimacy that is needed for that closeness, for that bond to get stronger over the years? I mean, if you're in a constant state of stress, worry, chaos, you're just attracting a bunch of negativity to your household. And that does more damage than good, you know? And it's like, no one is saying that you can't be an empathetic person. I mean, that just comes with being an emotionally intelligent individual. Someone who is successfully emotionally intelligent. But we understand everybody comes with their traumas. Everybody comes with hurt, pain, and all that. And that might be why a person might act in such a way. But that doesn't mean that the other individual has to accept it. It doesn't mean I have to accept it. I mean, your lack of ambition, your lack of emotional intelligence, your lack of introspection, you know, having that tenacity to be the best version of yourself. You know, it's like I always strive to be a better me than I was in the previous year. It's not about having the richest partner. It's about having someone that you can look over to your left and they're right there by your side. And yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that we all have our down moments. I know that we all get depressed. I know that things happen. But I know that sometimes you might need a little bit of assistance being, you know, uplifted a bit. But what I do believe is that it is extremely unfair to make that a priority to your partner or make that their responsibility to do. And I think that the other person has to learn to be self-fulfilling at times, independent in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't always expect your partner to be the one to pick you up. Your partner might not always be in the mental state to do it. They could be suffering their own battles.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, when you have a slew of responsibilities, mm-hmm. you can't expect the partner to be able to be that when those times come. Because what if it's a whole family? And so you have both partners that are providers and y'all are parents and y'all have, you know, other family relatives or whatever. Then y'all have, you know, maybe side responsibilities like a business or whatever the case. You know, your personal life, your friends, this, that, and a third. So the other person already has so many things. And not saying that, you know, in a relationship, you shouldn't be able to put those things to the side and step in where it needs to be for your partner. But realize that each person has their own share of the helpings on their plate, you know? So if there is a way where you can be able to keep yourself fulfilled so that it doesn't feel like pressure or added, you know, to the other partner, that has to happen. Because one thing, it can actually bring the other person down. Like, oh my God, okay, every time you fall down, I got to pick you up. I got to pick you up. You know, and it's like, and it's nothing wrong with the partner helping you out, helping you get back up from a hard time, or even if you're, you know, succumbing some type of stress mentally, that's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be able to do that for yourself first. And then when you get the support from your partner, it just doubles.
Right.
It shouldn't be where you need this from somebody else to survive every time. That's just too much. So yeah, I love her perspective behind that whole thing. Because it's losing a lot of other things when it comes to expectations with relationships. And
it's like a job, you have to set expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because a lot of people feel like these type of expectations are just all crazy, wild, outlandish expectations. But this is minimum. And this is where we've come with, you know, with our society these days. These are minimum things. Mm-hmm. So
it's because people become lazy. They don't want to put the work in. Oh, that's too much. I can just swipe right and go to my next victim. Oh, I'm sorry, partner.
And so it was like, dang, like, so did you ever know like what it took to even like, did you ever realize the work type of work that is needed, is necessary?
Right.
You know? The fact that you think this is minimum, wow. Like, the fact that you think it's too much, you're probably not even noticing the fact that you're doing the minimum and that you just believe is too much.
Exactly, because nobody is holding you accountable.
No one ever held you accountable and no one ever made you aware of what the realistic priorities from the gate are.
Right.
Like, what does a relationship take? But see, you could also say this, like, it could be subjective, because what one woman might like, oh, I'm fine with just that, she could say. Another woman could expect a little bit more. Yeah, like, I make a really big deal out of, like, I need my birthday celebrated. I want a Christmas gift. I need you to go all out for Valentine's Day. And it's just like, you know, for example, like, I like Wegmans sushi. And if you're going to Wegmans, gee golly whiz, pick me up some sushi. A crab roll, not imitation crab, but, you know, some crab meat, lump crab meat roll. And then if you're going to the liquor store, don't get me tequila because that'll fuck me up. So please don't do that. But give me a nice Cabernet Sauvignon. You know what I mean? Let me know you're thinking about me. Right. I mean, it's called being considerate. Like, help me out. You know, like, occasionally slip me like $10 when I go get my nails done for tip. Or if, you know, I'm getting my nails done, be like, hey, baby, here's $100. You know what I mean? Just let me know that you're listening. Let me know that you care. Let me know that I'm appreciated. Something. So, I guess my question for you is, you know, are some women making it worse for others? Like, are some too picky, too high maintenance? Or should just men, well, women either, and anybody who's going into dating, should you just understand that it's a customized experience, you know, because everybody is unique?
So I feel like you have your standard expectations that go for any relationship. And then you have your custom expectations. And that's where the line gets gray, because people, some people that have very high custom expectations generalize that to make it seem like, oh, everybody need this. Mm. So then that's where the other party gets confused, because they're like, oh my God, well, everybody need this. Y'all doing too much.
Ah, so,
you know, realistically, the standard expectations, trust, support, understanding, communication, patience, responsibility, and being able to prioritize things when it comes to, because a lot of things play. So you have the trust and the understanding and communication and this, that, and the third that plays into your spiritual, emotional, and mental connection with that person. Then you have the financial, where you expect your partner to be financially stable, financially responsible. Possible. Yeah, to prioritize, and so that you're not both fucked up together.
Right, like maybe not, you know, investing in a $10,000 chain when you could have used that as an investment towards a down payment on a house.
Maybe when you have, you know, when you play in kids, okay, y'all both have to be on the same page when it comes to that. Just multiple different things that are more of a standard expectation versus right. the custom, where it's like, okay, maybe this person might have a love language where they like gifts and they like, you know, to be showered and things like that. So then that comes with the person. So then there comes a time where you have a conversation, and that's where people miss. Yeah, you miss that step because a lot of people jump and from one thing to another. And so now you kind of miss the opportunity where you learn the custom expectations that people need for each other, where it could be avoided, you know? So a lot of people are objective to these custom expectations, but they feel trapped because they've already jumped ship and got into, well, not really jumped ship, because they jumped into the ship with the person. And so now they're kind of there trying to deal with, oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't learn what this person wanted from me in the very beginning. But now I'm here and we're now in this more permanent situation. So now I have to grow accustomed to that, the custom expectations that they have, or just go ahead and back out, you know, because that's not what you know. So it's just a lot to it, where ultimately it takes more knowledge and more learning of the person that you're going to deal with.
Okay, so those are like essential, like the trust, the responsibility, all that. That's the core. The integral components of what makes a healthy relationship. I mean, I think you definitely summed that up. I mean, the difference between customized and just the foundation of a healthy relationship. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. Now we're going to do some tea time.
For you, tea for you, and tea for you, madam. Yes.
So we're actually going to go through this pretty quickly. We did say for you to go ahead and submit anything that you would want advice on. But anyway, we actually have one today. So anyway, dear Mila and Billion, I'm a little bit in a rut, so I thought maybe you guys could help me out. Anyway, I have a decent career and I'm also a business owner. I've been with my wife for 22 years, and roughly 15 years ago, we decided to have our first kid. That was then. We pretty much decided that it would be best for her to be a stay-at-home wife. Stay-at-home mother. My apologies, my slip up. Anyway, so we also live at my mother's house because she was gracious enough to give it to us. So that means, yep, you know it. No mortgage payment. So our situation is a little bit hectic right now. It just so happened that in the midst of all this time, we kind of grew further apart. And because of that, I started looking elsewhere. I'm currently talking to someone that is, she's a young one. She's 15 years younger than I am. And I can't help but to not leave her alone. She makes me feel ways that my wife doesn't make me feel. I feel terrible to admit that, but I am definitely a lot more closer. Our relationship has been developing through the couple of years that I've known her. Anyway, I'm a little bit disgusted with my wife. Every time I come home, I see that, you know, the kids are barely tended to, the house is dirty, There isn't a meal cooked. And I mean, just to say it blatantly, there is absolutely no times that we are in kicking it in the bedroom. So what do I do? Lately, we've been arguing so much. We can't seem to stop arguing. It's consistent. Just not long ago, she said that she hates living here. This never was the house she wanted to be in. She's not happy with how her life is. She doesn't like how our relationship is progressing. And honestly, all this seems to be a lot more stressful than I feel like it's worth. So lately, we've been entertaining the idea of divorce. But I can't help but to wonder, we have so much history together. It's kind of hard for me to consider throwing it all away. But then when I look around and I see what's around me, it just seems like I'm surrounded by women that just keep asking me for money. Yes, even the side chick I'm close to. What do I do? Should I?
It's a lot there. It's a lot.
Should I divorce or should I make it work with my wife? You tell me, guys.
Well, it's a lot of things to address. For one, you're in a marriage. So that's not to say that as soon as you got married, you were supposed to just deal with any and everything. And if you're not happy, that you can't walk away, because you can. But when you enter a marriage, when you say those vows, you are pretty much committing yourself to work damn hard. I mean, it has to be, you know what? Everybody's hands up, like, we just can't do this anymore type of thing. You have, in 22 years, you made it this far. So the fact of the matter is that it has to be something where that both parties are not being accountable for, you know, it has to be something. Now, I can speak for both ends. I can speak for both parties, like, or not really both parties, but both sides, both perspectives, because I am that mother, not a stay-at-home mother, but I am a working mom, and I can understand the pressure that it may feel or may have. And I actually was stay-at-home after I had my son. I stayed home with him for about 9 months. So I understand that lifestyle. I can say from the man's perspective that he may be misconstrued or misunderstanding the role that a stay-at-home mom plays. And so when you understand what happens when she lets everything go and she puts the trust and responsibility in your hands to be the sole provider, and the more dominant person in the relationship, because we all know when you let go of your ability to make money and let somebody else make it for you, and then to dictate where those funds might go, you have a way more dominant role, you know. So that's one thing, that the woman can go through so many challenges with just that in itself. The man has to understand, okay, there is a switch here. If my wife wasn't originally a work from home, or not work from home, work mom that lives at home and takes care of the kids, if she wasn't originally that from the very beginning and she had to change or adjust her life to this lifestyle, that's big in itself. And it doesn't matter if she's been doing it for 22 years or however long, if you feel like it's been a long stretch. Yeah, that's been an adjustment, and it's still something to get used to, you know? So on that side, it just, like, it does take accountability for both people to say, okay, well, first we got to sit down and acknowledge the problem. My question is, have you ever sat down and thought of the problem of where are the issues stemming from in the first place? Women, when they have kids, they change mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. They just change. So where you feel like she may have lost, or, you know, not have been so in tune with you as a man, and feel like, you know, she is not fulfilling what you need or satisfying you, that's something that you, like, as a man, you have to be vocal about. You have to put that out there. And then you have to know what kind of women you have, if that woman is receptive to the information that you might give them. So there's just a lot, you know, like, are you dealing with a female? Or are you, is your wife someone that you could be able to confide in and tell, okay, this is how I feel. I've been feeling like I've been neglected a little bit, you know, da 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 da. And if she could actually receive that. If so, there's a path that you could take, and it doesn't have to end in divorce. Right. So that's one thing. Secondly, what a lot of people don't realize is men have changes in their lives. They have moments where they feel like they're not necessarily bored, but they start to feel like, okay, this has been the same thing for a long time. So where is the newness coming from? That's why he stepped out and went to another female, even though he's not completely happy, because all he feels like is a bank for this girl. So it's like women have to now set aside and say, okay, I know I'm going through my little things and I'm struggling a little bit here and there, but I also have to look at my man. Now he also is getting up, working, doing what he has to do to provide. So we just have two different struggles. He might face a lot of things that I would never know about while he's out there in the world. And I have to be the person where when he comes home, I make him feel like he's not coming home to chaos. And So again, there it needs to be a conversation from the woman's side. Okay, I need help with this, that, and the third. No, you're not going to be perfect. No, you're not going to be a slave to be expected to just clean up, have the house looking like a show model house every day, like you don't have kids that live there. So the house might have things thrown around in here and there. It might be, it's lived in, you know? So that might happen. But at the end of the day, you do want to make it a habit to where your husband comes home and feels like a breath of fresh air. It may not be food cooked every single night, but at least consistently enough that your husband says, hey, my wife cooks. She cooks. So, and she takes care of the kids and she cleans. We have a clean house.
I guess one thing that I'm wondering is, like, you know, us as women, we're very intuitive. Since he's cheating, do you think what if she knows that he's cheating and she feels like he's cheating and she's probably like, well, why even bother cooking? Why even bother cleaning? You know, is that a possibility?
And that could be happening, but then it plays into that we're not even communicating about it. And I mean, she probably wouldn't, just because she doesn't want him to know that she knows. But on the other hand, it's pretty much like unnecessary games at that point. So if you think he's cheating and you feel like you don't even want to do anything anymore, you don't even want to be taking care of him, you don't want to be sitting here cleaning up the house, cooking and doing all this, like, you just, then if that's the case, say something about it. Do something about it. Then there might have to be a change that's made. You can't just sit here and play games.
I mean, right. I mean, who wants to do that all their life? I mean, I couldn't do it. I'd have to bring it up. I mean.
Yeah. But then, you know, like I said, it plays in that, okay, so can she speak her mind and say how she feels about a situation and he is receptive to it? So it's both parties that has to be able to communicate. So that's the question too. Is the communication good? Probably not. Because if that was the case, if it was good communication, they wouldn't really be here in this place. You have to know how to speak to your person. Not everybody has the same communication styles. Some people are more blunt, straight to the point. Some people are more expressive, like to talk in details. People that are blunt, straight to the point, don't want to sit forever and have a conversation that takes, you know, an hour long. More just like people that are expressive, don't want to feel like they are being rushed to get to the point. So it's right. Just now you got to, you know, understand who you're talking to. What type of person, whether it's your husband or not, what type of person is this when it comes to communication?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a divider right there. Because if you can't communicate, there's nothing. So it's just a lot. I do recommend counseling. Therapy is a must if you're married. you have to step into some type of counseling if you are married, because you didn't take a vow to just get up and walk away without seeking help. You just didn't. That's not right. It doesn't give justice to your marriage. You don't even take marriage seriously at that point because you didn't seek a higher resource of getting help for something that you may be able to fix. A lot of people don't even realize the things that they go through is fixable. But both people have to be receptive, have to be understanding, have to be willing. You can't move forward and have growth with the unwilling person. That just doesn't work. If this person is just stuck in their ways, they never want to change, they never want to hear anything, they think they're always right about everything, that's never going to work. And then you might as well go ahead and print the papers. But if you both have some type of understanding, you both have some type of, okay, I can be able to hear what this person has to say. I'm not going to talk over them. I'm going to actually listen to understand instead of listening to respond. Then you got to start. And then you go to counseling and you get somebody that's good, somebody that you can, you know, take and put the information in front of them and they not take sides, and that they can give you perspective on both ends and never, you know, just a one-sided perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you grow from there. So yeah, I think that this marriage has a lot of opportunity to stay where it's at, and or well, not necessarily stay in the you know, negative yeah. place, but grow and be healthy. And it doesn't have to mean that you just spit. And I think that that's where all of our other, you know, the for one, a lot of people, the divorce rates are high because people get married and they don't understand what marriage takes. Partnership really means. So some people just jumped into it without even actually having an understanding of what they need to do. But on the other hand, a lot of divorce rates are up because people just don't know what to do when it's time to fix it.
Right.
So the only other option you think you have is to divorce, when the whole time you probably could have did something differently, but you just didn't have the tools to understand what it was. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, I hope you guys, you know, do seek that help and really try, because one thing for sure, and I'm going to tell you this, you are going to find somebody new, and it's always going to be great when it's a new person.
Yeah.
But just because the grass is so green don't mean that it can't get old. The seasons change.
Right, exactly. And the thing is, she could come with a whole rack of bullshit that even your wife didn't come with.
Now, see, and I would look at that. I would look at that like, hey, if the side chick is giving me more issues than my wife, let me head on back home and fix this shit. And that's the problem with people. You're so quick to get up and run to the next person. How about you run back to yourself? If you leave a relationship, you shouldn't even be jumping into something with somebody else anyway.
Exactly. I mean, you need to heal. But see, people don't even look within themselves. They sit here and think, oh, I'm not the problem. So let me go ahead and play a game of switcheroo and I'll be good.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
So I hope that they work that out, because I feel like a lot of the things are just misunderstanding. You got a wife. She's a stay-at-home mom. She needs support. She needs help. Take the lead. Take the initiative to say, hey, you know what? I know you've been struggling in this house all day. I'm tired. I've been at work battling my outside world, but I know you've been trapped.
Right. Like, he needs to understand her side. Like, he needs to be more empathetic about what she's going through.
Yeah, because it's not about a happy life, happy wife, happy life. It's really not. It's about, hey, I know my wife is struggling. Let me help her so that she can help me. One thing that men need to understand, it is in our nature to be the backbone of our husbands and our kids. So if you stress me out, I'm not consciously like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stress him out. But I'm now so stressed that you're gonna be stressed as well, and it's gonna be amplified. So not only did you give me a little stress and you made me stress, but now I'm giving it back to you. So now you're getting it 10 times over versus just, you know, saying, okay, let me just take a step back and look at her and what she got going on.
Right.
I can guarantee you, if you showed initiative about, you know, little things like coming in, knowing that there may be a routine that you and the wife and the kids follow, you say, hey, I'm going to start helping. If I come in and the kids are doing whatever, you know, and she's trying to handle something else, let me take them outside, let them run around a little bit. Let me take them and do a little project with them so that they could be out of her hair for a second. Let me do something for her. Let me take over.
Right. Like offer up taking her on a spa day instead of thinking about what am I going to do with my side chick?
Exactly.
Right. Like divert your attention back to your household. Like your kids should be primary, like how they're elevated. They remember everything.
Yeah. And you know what's the funniest part? Women lose interest for men when they lack care and support for their woman and kids. When you show that you're going to drift away, now we are drifting. Now we're uninterested. Yep. Because one thing that really... Creatures. Yeah. And on the other hand, we are feminine women. We are a creature that we have such a natural way of doing things where it's like we don't have to find these things. It just comes natural when it comes to protect most. I know some people, life traumas make them something different, but most women want to upkeep themselves in a certain manner. They protect and look out for their children. They do certain things where it's just natural. So right. When you start to do things as a man that works against their natural capabilities of a woman, now they're going to turn into something different. Yeah. Now they're going to, and it's like, it's within a woman to be this feminine creature.
Right. She wants to embrace her feminine energy.
Yeah.
And you're making her tap into this masculine energy.
It's natural for a woman to be like, you know what? Let me sit down. Let me cook something. Let me clean up the house. Right. Let me get this together. It's natural for, so that's right. The thing. That's the problem where men get it twisted. Women actually don't mind doing those things.
Nope.
But it's when they become overworked. Now it's an expectation like, okay, well, why you didn't do this day? Let me want to do it on my own and naturally. Right. Don't right. make me feel like now I'm a maiden in the house. Ma'am, I asked for chicken pot pie instead of this. Don't, and you know, it doesn't have to be that particular example, but don't make it feel like a job when right. this is somebody's natural intuition to do.
Right.
Because
right.
now that's it. And if you think about it, that's what happens in life. Oh, you could go to a job and be so happy because you're just excited. You love doing what you're doing. But then somebody makes it feel like, oh, you're not doing enough of this. Oh, come back over here and do this. Oh, you missed a spot here. You didn't do this. Now you're like, damn, this is way too demanding. This is not what I this is not what I signed up for. So now you're like, fuck this job. Should I quit today? I don't want to be here. You roll out of bed, you're like, I don't even want to go to work. That's how it feels for us as women.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, just understand your partner and understand those standard expectations and the custom expectations. And then, you know,
as you saw, I knew when to shut my face, which was at this segment, at this part of the segment. I don't have much background like you do. And I'm so thankful that you're here to share your experience. You're definitely well versed in this. I mean, you're a mother, you've been in, not in the same predicament per se, but you've, you know, been home with the kids and, you know, you've had a long thriving relationship. So it's great to hear your perspective on this. But yes, everyone, please continue to submit more advice. We want to give more advice. We're loving it. We're loving it. We're loving it. We're loving it. So Soon we're actually going to be creating an Instagram page that is specifically for Let's Get Into It. So you'll be able to put all the advice requests on that page. But we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. And until next week.
Yes, yes. We'll see you then.
Peace and love.